Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. Whatever we believe in, that we're children of God or Jesus or Allah, Buddha, the great spirit in the sky, we don't know, but we do know that we are all children of sex, with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Can I get an A women?
A women!
I want to welcome you to my fifth bedside chat of the coronapocalypse, brothers and sisters, inspired by FDR's fireside chats, except in bed. Well, really my couch, but a lot of people use their couches as a bed, and I certainly have. And I am right now broadcasting live from the little love church of the Bonobo Way in Bonoboville in isolation. And we're chatting with you about life and death and love in the time of coronavirus. That's our time, brothers and sisters, right now, masked and tasked. I am with staying 6 feet apart from my lovely show assistant. Where's your mask? Put your mask on. Okay. Yes, a lot of people have issues with wearing these masks, but they do protect us, our vulnerable bodies. Our souls may be eternal, who knows, but we know our bodies are very susceptible. So everybody here on the Bonobo crew looks good with their masks on. Woo! I mean, it's not easy. It's not a simple thing to do this. It's not exact science, this social distancing. In fact, it's not social distancing at all. It's really about physical distancing, because in some ways we need to be closer to each other socially than ever, and we can do that through our devices, our demonic devices. And you know, some of them are pretty intimate, like the phone, and some are a little more complex. But physical distancing in person, even though I know it's difficult and annoying. Fortunately, I don't have to stay 6 feet away from my person who's clearing his throat so sexily. My witness, there he is, growling, my Captain Max, as we are self-isolating together. I'm rocking, trying to rock my homemade leopard print bandana mask. You gotta have fun with your masks, right? Yeah, I love it. I mean, I don't really love it. I deal with it. You know, you got to practice the, what is it, the 11th step of the 12 steps to liberating your inner bonobo, the 11th step being swing through life, adapt, and try to make it fun if you can, you know, even though there's a lot of sadness and there's a lot of fear, and the masks are part of the fear, you know, fear of people getting at us. We are all masked men, masked women, and masked gender fluid people. We are creatures of the mask now. And yes, trying to protect our vulnerable bodies from the menace that travels between us. And I speak, of course, of the coronavirus. Everybody knows I have a corona. Can't drink my corona, though, while I'm in a mask. But corona doesn't give you coronavirus, okay? So, yeah. But that's bad enough, though that is kind of exacerbated by the Trump virus. Let me just give him a good whack for all his lies. This week you weren't being sarcastic. You were being yourself. You want to see more people die. The president, yes, indeed, he needs to get a good whacking right now to start the show. And Jim Jones told people to drink the poison Kool-Aid, right? And the Trump virus tells people, hey, just inject some Clorox in your lungs, baby. Clorox time. Hey, you can turn that around and show that to the Facebook crowd. Where's the, there you go. Clorox chewables, actually. This is another form that, you know, you might prefer because you can chew it up. And then again, you might like a little Mr. Clean up your ass. I don't know. Or Drano up your nose. Or how about Lysol Jello shots to be provided free in your Las Vegas hotel room minibar now that Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman, she is shown here making Anderson Cooper touch his face. He tries to be such a good boy, but you know, where have those hands been? I don't know. And yet here he is touching his face over Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman saying she's going to open up Sin City. Of course, everybody knows everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But I don't think the coronavirus got the memo. Anyway. We'll see what happens, whether it becomes the petri dish of her dreams or Death Valley in Vegas. I hope it's not Death Valley. You know, I don't wish it on anybody. the situation we're in. So here we are, masked, Cloroxed, and ready. And we're gonna have fun. We're doing these bedside chats to kind of make sense and sensuality of these times, the coronapocalypse, being in quarantine, kind of taking it slow in your life, maybe taking stock of your life, maybe. Maybe having more sex than usual. Maybe having less. Maybe being forced to deal with your significant other. Maybe being forced to deal with that significant other that is you. Right. Hey, May is Masturbation Month coming up soon, so perfect for isolation. And it's a perfect time to have a good chat with someone that I've long been an admirer of. So my featured guest tonight is Hypatia Lee. And she is, just to give you a brief introduction, an extraordinary woman, a shining star in several different fields. One quarter Cherokee, she is a Native American spiritual guide, and she has been honored with the title Cherokee Blessed Woman. And I feel like now I'm going to stay 6 feet away from my crew. I can pull my mask down, okay, and you can adjust my sound, and now you get to see me smile, right? I know you're not really supposed to wear it around here, but I see all the experts do that. They all wear their little mask as a choker, so it's kind of cool. And it means I can pull it up again if somebody tries to get at me. Anyway, Hypatia Lee, Cherokee Blessed Woman, has studied for decades with various medicine men and women all over the world, and served as the Blessed Woman for the Lost River Band of the Cherokees, where she conducted healing ceremonies, sweat lodges, taught people the Cherokee language, actually, and also taught the Native strength alternative to contemporary mental health care that she kind of is famous for. And she's written several books called Native Strength, that's the series, including The First Step on the Path of an Indomitable Life. Here she is with a very handsome horse, right? And you might know Hypatia Lee from a different side of her life that she pursued before her work with Native American culture, although she's always been very open and proud of her Native American heritage, being one quarter Cherokee. But that part of her career would be one of the world's most famous, most beautiful, talented, and popular adult stars. And she kind of appeared, for the most part, towards the end of the golden age of porn. And I would say in the early to mid 80s, when porn was just moving from the movie theaters onto VCRs.
Beta!
Yeah. And she was like a big deal, very much so in those days. And it was inducted into the AVN Hall of Fame, the XRCO Hall of Fame, given Free Speech Coalition's Lifetime Achievement Award, and many other accolades. Like I said, an amazing, multifaceted woman. So we are very honored. Let's hear in the Bonoboville crew just give her a warm welcome, Hypatia Lee. Yay!
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here. And that introduction you gave me was off the charts. I can't thank you enough for that.
Well,
that
you deserve it. I'm glad you could hear it. Yes.
Oh, yes. I could hear you just fine.
Okay.
Now.
Well, I'm just thrilled to have you here. You are an amazing woman and a woman, and I was wondering what that was, Sunshine's hand. Can we do it so that it's on either side of, can we go split screen? Yeah, so, you know, I don't know if you remember Hypatia, but I met you in the, I think, mid 80s or maybe sort of late 80s, and you were at this office building. I had an office there, and I had a partner who was doing a shoot with you and Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, I do remember that. Did I have a little baby?
Not with you, but you might have. Maybe you did. I don't remember that baby being part of the shoot. I just remember that even though yeah. I didn't watch a lot of porn back then, still, I knew who you were, and I was totally starstruck. And I have to say, you were so down to earth and nice, and I was just like floating around the office, didn't really have a purpose except to just hang around because you were shooting something. And you were really nice, and I'll never forget that.
That's so sweet of you. Yeah, I had my first son, I believe, was about 6 months old, okay. And he really wasn't supposed to be in the shoot, but it was Geraldo. So yeah. Once it was all said and done, started this with a picture of me holding the baby, which I didn't know that they had taken. This innocent little child doesn't know that his mother is a porn star.
No, but he knows yeah. She's his mom, and he's happy yeah. with that.
And oh, my kid's great. He's got a PhD in physics now.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Your son has a PhD in physics?
Yes, and I homeschooled him until he was in the eighth grade because I traveled dancing on the road promoting my movies.
Right.
And I wasn't going to let somebody else raise my kids. So I took
Good
them with me.
Good for you.
And homeschooled him.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, you have had such an interesting life. I want to start just referencing your name because speaking of physics and philosophy and arithmetic and, I mean, you... Your name is Hyapatia with an A, but it's related to the name of the famous Egyptian philosopher, one of the first acknowledged female philosophers, Hypatia, who
yeah.
was really just an incredible force, a teacher in Alexandria, Egypt, and until she was, you know, mob killed by Christians, but... Were you inspired by her?
I had a relative who died in early childhood named Hypatia, and I was inspired by that. I didn't want to offend the original Hypatia, so I put an extra A in there to make it a little unique. But I had always admired her, and her story really touched my heart, particularly being murdered by the Christians. Dragged from her chariot and her skin scraped off with oyster shells.
Yes, and I don't think she would have been offended at all that you were a porn star, an adult star. I mean, there's depictions of her like the one we have on the screen now where she's naked. And I mean, she was a pagan. She was not one that felt that sexuality was dirty or shameful. And I think she would have been honored. That's what I think, but, you know.
Thank you.
She's around to tell me.
I would like to think so. Thank you.
I'd like you to kind of, before we talk about your earlier life, give us an introduction to the healing work that you've been doing lately or the past several years, you know, which is, I feel, very relevant to our times of disease and other difficulties. So let's talk about the meaning, since somebody said he's going to go out and buy this book, Native Strength.
Native Strength, a lot of people get confused and think it means Native Americans, although it does come from the Native American tradition. It's the centuries-old Native American mental health care tradition, as opposed to the relatively new contemporary mental health care system.
No Prozac involved.
Yeah, no Prozac. Cannabis.
Cannabis.
Mushrooms.
Great.
Things like that.
I got my edibles here.
But it's tapping into your own internal native strength. We all have, regardless of your DNA, you have an internal ability to tap into what you were born with. As we are born and we grow, we're molded and sculpted and armored by our image makers to turn us into something that would be acceptable by society. And many times this takes away what we were innately given that we need to follow our sacred dream or our path in our lifetimes. For example, we might have been given the ability to stand up to bullies, but told that that's unacceptable or not feminine, not pretty, or we shouldn't do that or whatever. And then later in life, we find we needed that. We needed to keep that as part of ourselves, but our image makers have sculpted that away from us. So we regain our own personality, who we are innately, who our native strength really is, where it comes from. And in order to do that, one of the it's a Mayan teaching, the Mayan teaching of years of self-reflection.
Ooh, is that we have a Mayan mask.
World, which works perfectly for right now. It's the perfect time to turn off the world, to go inside and see who we are. Your mask is perfect. That's a perfect example.
Thank you, Agua.
We bought it just for you.
We wear masks to fit in with society and be what our image makers want us to be. But behind the mask is our true personality, who we really are. And we're multifaceted individuals. We might be one person to our grandparents.
Yeah.
And someone else to our lover in the bedroom. These are all different aspects of ourselves.
It's interesting to talk about the mask, because now, of course, people are wearing masks to go out, to interact, and it's, you know, uncomfortable sometimes or awkward, and it does bring a reckoning to the whole idea of who are we? What do we express with our face? What do we hide when we put on a mask? What do Cherokee or other Native American tribes have to say about masks? Because, of course, they wear them in different ceremonies.
Oh, yes. There's many different reasons to wear a mask. First and foremost, to protect oneself.
Interesting.
Whether to protect yourself from germs or to protect your identity. Perhaps you're doing something nefarious that you don't want to be caught. There are other reasons as well. To pretend to be someone else. To put forth a different face, a facade, rather than who you truly are. And many times that's what we are doing in society when we go out and we pretend that we're happy,
yeah,
when we're really disappointed or depressed, or we pretend that we like our family members who might support some crazed lunatic politician, or perhaps we're having a difficult time dealing with a boss who is over-assertive and we're trying to be nice and congenial, but deep inside we really want to give them the read between the lines, you know? So many, many reasons to wear masks.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to pretend, you know, to be something that we're not in order to get our needs met.
And you have been very, very good at wearing masks and taking them off. Both.
Yeah.
Putting them on, taking them off. It's, I guess, partly due to your theater training, maybe partly due to your problems that you've had in the past, multiple personality issues, and just your life, but you're a great mask wearer and taker offer. And
well, I take that as a compliment. The mirrors of self-reflection talks about the masks that we wear. Again, that's the Mayan teaching, and I think theater has a lot to do with it. But I think people who have lived in difficult situations, difficult childhoods, they tend to be more aware of other people's facial expressions, of the subtle hints that one might give to the emotions that are going on underneath. These people are used to things changing quickly, so they pay close attention. When you're paying close attention, it's very easy to mimic that.
By the way, we got a message on our Facebook feed where we're taking various messages. And so Elizabeth Aston, who used to be the on-camera assistant here, she says, complete goddess of the industry, an amazing contributor to the world. Speaking, of course, of my guest tonight, Hyapatia Lee.
So,
yes, you have a lot of fans that are watching you. And so you were starting to talk about childhood, and I wish we had like several hours, but can you kind of encapsulate your very, I guess, difficult but interesting childhood and teenagehood?
It's fairly common story. I'm actually three quarters Cherokee. I was raised by my Cherokee grandmother until my mother, at the age of 9, decided she wanted to have a family. She had given birth to me 2 months after she turned 15 and then kind of took off.
Yeah.
Her husband was a sexual pervert and advantage of me. I don't buy into the multiple personality thing anymore.
Okay.
I think the temporary mental health care system kind of uses that as a catch-all because they don't really know how to deal with the many facets of our personality.
Interesting.
And there was a time where I bought into that. And I thought, well, that's
And one of your autobiographies, you have actual different names for these different personalities, some of whom were able to stand up to your abusive stepfather, and some of whom wore the mask and did it a different way. So interesting, the way that these personalities, and we do all have different sides of ourselves, but maybe people in difficult situations, those different sides have to be very intense.
Yes, they're a little more pronounced, a little more divisive. Sometimes we don't have the memories because we've allowed this other facet to take total control. And doing so takes up so much brain power that it isn't left over for remembering some of the things that happened when this particular personality took charge. Now, if that particular personality should come back out, those memories tend to come back as well. But that's very similar to someone having a conversation with a grandmother at a synagogue or a church, and then having another conversation in the bedroom with their significant other. You probably aren't going to remember the conversation you had with your significant other in detail when you're sitting there talking to your grandparent again.
Right.
The conversation you had with them is going to be more in the forefront of your memory.
You might be an entirely different person. I mean, I talk to people all the time who lead double and triple lives, and I'm not saying that's a great thing. It's difficult, but people do it. Now, in one of the interviews that I saw you do, you talked about being abused by your stepfather, and that at the age of 12, you told a preacher or a minister, I think Baptist, about it, and he said, "Let's pray for your forgiveness." Your forgiveness for something he was doing to you. And so you left, I mean, I'm probably summarizing too much, but essentially left your stepfather and mother to go back with your grandmother, who taught you more and more about your Native American beliefs.
True, exactly. You summarized it very perfectly, actually. Very well done. My grandmother's full-blooded Native American culture, the entire culture and the religion, because most of our culture is considered religion, there's a fine line between religion and mental health and culture, because a lot of our culture was focused around our spirituality. Native American religion was against the law in this country until 1978. Against the law. No powwows.
Wow. Against the law. That's kind of disgusting. It's very disgusting.
Yeah, so a lot of the elders that had kept that information in secret, by 1978, they're dying off. That's the year I graduated from high school.
Wow.
I decided I wanted to learn these things. But to do so, I had to find these elders. Well, I was born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana. How am I going to travel to the Navajo Reservation or Guam or Hawaii or the Dakotas to study with these elders? Well, as the Great Spirit would have it, I stumbled across the adult entertainment industry. And so I made, you know, a couple movies a year, just enough to keep my name relevant on the road dancing. And then I'd go to these places dancing.
Oh.
And I'd book myself in these places and take, you know, a couple months off in between these gigs so that I could study with these elders. And I kept notes.
Wow.
I have copious notes. I have 12 three-ring binders of notes.
Oh, wow.
Wow, so you're kind of jumping ahead to, I was going to say you found refuge in theater and music and dancing and became very accomplished and started a band, did two albums, but yeah, you I guess your first foray into the adult industry was winning Miss Nude Galaxy twice.
That's right.
And you were offered parts in adult movies and you turned them down and then you went, okay. And I didn't know the part about, this is a way to visit elders all over the world.
No idea.
And it was secondary. It really wasn't something, honestly, I didn't think of it until kind of presented itself.
So why did you want to do it? Why did you get into the adult industry?
To make money, period. My grandmother raised me. She was on Social Security my entire lifetime. Yeah. She never made more than $8,000 a year. I couldn't afford to go to college. I couldn't even afford the $25 application. So my grandmother's sister paid for my lessons. I studied ballet, jazz, tap, also opera, so I could do the theater. So I had figured, well, this is one skill I do have. I can dance. And I looked in the newspaper, and they were paying $5 an hour when minimum wage was $2.35, plus tips to dance. And
right,
I thought, well, do that.
So you're an incredibly special person, but you have a similar reason to just about everybody for getting into the adult industry, to make us some money, you know. and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, sex work is real work, whether it's in front of a camera or, you know, just with one person or webcam or over the phone or, you know, there's many, many forms of helping people with their sexuality, of, you know, performing sex acts, whether you're a stripper, whatever you are. And it's a lot about making money, but it's also something that for some people is a special calling. You certainly have had a gift for that. And it just shines through on the screen. So you really were an international film sensation, let me just say. And what could you say are your best and worst memories of being in the adult industry? And you can take either one first.
Got to get the best memories out there. You got to hear this. This is some good stuff.
Okay.
Working with Harry Mone.
Harry Mone.
Yes, Harry Mone was fabulous.
We met him.
When I first started, he was the first person that asked me to make movies, people who represented him, when I won the Miss Nude Galaxy contest and had done the magazines. And he's the one that I finally said yes to because I respected him the way he treated me.
Uh-huh.
And he came to me with a script written by Gail Palmer. It was 12 pages handwritten. Now, I had done 72 different plays and musicals in community theater since I was 9 years old. And I looked at this script and I said, this is like a treatment, right? This is the beginning. He goes, oh, that's a script. I said, you're kidding me. And he said, do you think you can do better? I said, I know I can. So that's when I wrote The Young Like It Hot.
Ah.
He gave me a chance. He gave me a start. So then the next year, we only did 2 movies a year. The next year I came to him because I had written one of the movies we did. And he said, the next year I want to do this movie called Body Girls. I said, that sounds great. What's it about? Because I don't know, you haven't written it yet.
Oh,
that's honored. Great. Yeah. So
that was Some Like It Hot or The Young Like It Hot? The Young
Like It Hot. He said, you want to do a movie about ballet? Nobody wants to watch ballet. But he gave me a chance. We did The Young Like It Hot. I told him
Some Like It Hot.
No, Young Like It Hot.
Let's Get Physical was the ballet. And then I told him how much money I wanted. And he said, you're worth more than that. And he gave me $1,000 more.
Wow. You know, he was, I guess he still is one of the owners or the owner of the Erotic Heritage Museum.
Mm-hmm. And
where I received my honorary PhD from the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality. So I have a special place in my heart for Harry Mone too. So that's best memories. How about worst?
Vivid video.
Yeah.
Does not know how to read a contract.
Oh, Vivid
Video.
Does not
know how to follow a contract. Does not know how to treat people with respect or dignity. People, directors who were hired to direct a movie who stayed up all night doing cocaine and came to the set and said, I can't do this. Here, take the script and shoot the movie. I'll be back later. We shoot script. He comes back at 2:30 in the afternoon and says, oh, shit, I gave you the wrong script. You did the wrong shit. We got to start all over. And you're not getting paid any extra money for the work you did. Again, read between the lines. That was the end. I was done. I never worked again. I quit. I'm like, this business has gone to hell. It went from Harry Mony to this.
Whoa. Around what year was the end, would you say?
1991.
Uh-huh. Okay. And, so, but before that happened, let's talk about, like, we could talk about a few films, but your biggest adult film, I guess the most famous, was The Ribald Tales of Canterbury, which you wrote along with Geoffrey Chaucer, you could say.
He had a...
he did the original, but you did quite an excellent revamping of the Canterbury Tales in, you know, with sex. Listen, the Canterbury Tales already have sex, but you just brought out the explicit qualities of the sex.
Well,
in the Canterbury
I had to censor it. There was a rape scene in it, and I refused to be involved in a movie that has rape in it, so I had to cut the rape scene out.
There's a rape in the Canterbury Tales, the
in Chaucer's original.
Oh,
in Chaucer.
Yeah, you know.
I was going to say, we watched the movie. We didn't see a rape.
No,
yeah,
I didn't.
She cut it out, yeah.
Which of the tales is that?
Yeah.
It's not the Knight's Tale or the Miller's Tale.
It was the Miller's Tale.
Oh, the Miller's Tale involves a rape. Mm. I got to read that again. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, certainly all the sex in your version is really beautiful and very lavish. We're showing a picture now of you playing the violin, and I know you play the violin. Are you actually playing in the movie?
Yes, I am. That's actually
my... Whoa.
That's what I said. Everybody's like, no. I said, no, she's doing
beautiful.
It for real.
Now, we have a clip of you telling the story of a gypsy. The way that Hypatia does this is she plays the hostess and invites everybody to tell an erotic tale to pass the time as they go on their way. And so at the end, she tells this great tale of a gypsy who's in love with two brothers and makes a deal with the devil to be with both. Now, I could, is it okay if I play this clip? Yeah, it starts with the devil.
That's great, it's great.
I don't show all the sex, just a little bit of the beginning. So, okay, roll tape.
A beautiful gypsy, how may I serve you?
I was told to come to you for help. I'm in love with two men. I want them both for my husband. I can't choose between them.
Kinky. Have you danced for them?
Oh, yes. Yes, I danced for them all evening. But they paid me no attention.
Well, don't worry a bit about it. I have just the thing to capture their hearts. The violin will produce such a wonderful sound that no mortal will be able to withstand it. I offer no service for free. At the cock's crow, you will return to me and be my lover for the whole day, or you will perish. Here, let me teach you how to play.
Thank you.
magic to perfection.
Yeah! Author of the Ribald Tales of Canterbury. Wow, and also playing the violin, which
for
is
real.
So beautiful there. Just amazing. And you are so beautiful. Just, I hate to say a cliche, but they don't make porn like that anymore.
No, they don't. Yep.
Porn shot for
it
days
has a real story.
Universal Studios lent us the costumes for that.
Oh my God. I kept saying, I was reading, that's like the second most expensive porn at the time, right? I said, oh my God, the costumes alone look so expensive. The costumes alone look so expensive. You know, I was like, I want all of those costumes. I want all of them. They were so impressive, you know?
It was so cool because they even knew, you know, that we were doing an adult film and they were cool with it as long as our money was green, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And I guess that's kind of lost in a way. I mean, you never know when things are going to come back. But right now it's all kind of gonzo porn and all about the gynecological, urological shots. And nothing wrong with that. I love penises and vaginas, and I'm totally into that. But I'm also into stories and emotions and people, and that's very lacking in most porn today. Not going to say all. There's so many different kinds, but in those days they made these big budget major motion pictures that they just don't make today.
With a story
and with sex, because sex is part of life. Yeah. And that kind of brings me to something that you say in Native Strength. Whoops, where am I here? Okay, Native Strength, let me see, let's make sure I get this right. Where is this? You write that sex between two or more consenting adults in Native American life was understood to be a part of the human experience. Sex was seen as beautiful and not something that caused shame. And the idea of marriage as a lifelong union is not central to Native American life. I know the porn industry ain't perfect, but it kind of was trying at that time, and maybe even still now, to give a glimpse into that possibility, because our mainly puritanical society really shuts that off, really says that, you know, there's the spirit and there's the sex, and sex is dirty. And I guess from what I know of Native American culture, sex is not considered separate from life.
Exactly. The wheel of life is like the key of a, it goes over all of the other medicine wheels to give a better understanding of what the different directions mean. And the center of the wheel of life is for the creative sexual force. It's not just sex, it's for creativity as well. Thank you for showing that. I don't have the center highlighted there, it got kind of busy. But the center is for creativity, and that includes sex. Yes. So your creativity is your sexuality, obviously the center of the wheel. That's a pretty important place. Yeah. Native Americans honored and respected what we consider to be two-spirited people who were gay, bisexual, transgender. These people were respected. When a warrior decided to go to battle, he visited several teepees. Amongst them were the medicine man or woman, the holy man or woman, his mother, and a two-spirited person to get their opinion and their belief on what his reason for going to battle was, if this was a valid reason. These people were highly respected in our society. And as far as marriage not being integral, it was important as far as being there to raise a family. You committed to your significant other to raise a child, to be there with them through thick and thin. But if things got really bad, if somebody got abusive, if somebody got neglectful, that was it. All a woman had to do was take her spouse's belongings and put them outside of the teepee. That's it. You're done. That's your divorce. Wow.
That most must have been so gratifying to hear about that for you when you were young, and you were so trapped in your little nuclear family with this abusive stepfather. And, you know, so many people have been trapped in the nuclear family. And the whole idea of the tribe, I mean, I think there are Western examples of that, but the Native American example of that is so solid. And it's so tragic that our government, ours being the American government, has for a long time made it illegal, and now just makes it incredibly difficult.
Well, if they gave us the respect that we deserved, if they honored our knowledge, our history, they would have to acknowledge their genocide. And yes. I don't know if you're familiar with the term manifest destiny and yes. how this whole country yes. was founded on the belief that we didn't have a soul. That's why we weren't mentioned in the Bible. Jesus didn't come here. Therefore, we were animals. Therefore, it was God's will to wipe us all out, to manifest destiny, that this should be a Christian nation. That's what justified their genocide. Now, if we have knowledge, if we have wisdom, albeit of the stars, if we can show that we've been here for 30,000 years, as National Geographic is showing, if they're showing the pyramids of Teotihuacan that are in line with the Orion's Belt, just like they are over in Egypt, then we are showing that we have knowledge, that we are not soulless, mindless animals, which really makes their genocide not seem so cool anymore. And we don't want to acknowledge that. So when I start talking about the things that the ancestors, the Rattlesnake School, which was founded in 1050 AD, had 22 different power spots between North, Central, and South America. These were cities where people would go to learn certain things, like Chaco Canyon, different things they would learn for each place. Like I told you about the Mayan and the mirrors of self-reflection. That's their main. You go down to the Mayan cities, that's what the medicine people would learn. So people would go on this medicine path where they would travel these 22 different cities and learn these different things and take them back to their people and share them with their people. By that time, they're considered a twisted hair. They have taken knowledge all these different places and twisted them into wow. their braids or symbols of knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge is... your long white braids show how smart you are. So they've taken knowledge from anything that really, what we say, grows corn. If the knowledge sings to your heart, if it grows corn, then you weave it into your belief system. If not, you blow it away with a breath of kindness and say, that's for someone else, not me.
So your current work, your book, and a video that I saw on Native Strength involves... telling ancient stories that often involve non-human animals. I say non-human because I feel humans are animals. Well, it's not just what I feel. Okay. It's what science says. And it's what Native Americans have always said. We are animals. Yes, of course, we love each other best as humans. But we're not really better than the other animals. We're ourselves. We're a type of animal. And one of these stories tells... of the rebellion of the animals, which is very interesting in conjunction with what's going on nowadays and why we're wearing these masks to prevent against this disease. And in the story you talk about humans who hunted animals for sport and greed and not just for need, for what they need to eat. And when you hunt for sport and greed, it's wasteful, it's bad juju, and the animals kind of got together and decided to give humans diseases. And you know, it sounds so kind of crazy, but yet isn't that what often happens? And certainly is happening with coronavirus. Everybody seems to say, unless you're into conspiracy theories, that it comes from some kind of non-human animals, whether it's bad methods of farming or bushmeat hunting, all of which are hunting out of greed.
All of them, right? AIDS,
and yet also the humans acquired, how to treat the diseases from the plants. So it's a very special story that has a lot of relevance to our times.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And you can read about it in Native Strength and also in one of your videos on Native Strength. You know, people talk a lot about the negativity of lust, the problems with lust, but greed, I think that's a lot more dangerous than lust, actually.
Oh, a hell of a lot more dangerous.
Mm. Now, yes. Do you have a favorite animal? I mean, you know, mine's a bonobo, but...
Oh, bonobos are great. You cannot love a bonobo. I love them all. The deer come visit me frequently.
Me too. Deers.
I have a family of rabbits living in my backyard. There's a hawk's nest just a couple trees over. I love them all.
Yeah. And you have a horse on the cover. You must like horses.
Yeah, that was my horse, Diamond. I had her for several years. Unfortunately, she's passed over to the other side now.
And there's some good horseback riding in Canterbury Tales. Yeah. Now, I just have got to get in here a little politics. You know, I don't know if you want to respond to this. But I got to give another whack to Trump because not only we talk a lot here about how he's denied COVID relief to sex workers, which is not just bad for sex workers, it's bad for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, why do you want to put sex workers back in play in our society? You want everybody to stay inside, so you should be paying sex workers relief just like everybody else.
To stay inside. Now they have to go out and work.
And recently, the Trumpus, as I call him, has done something really, really evil. And that's saying a lot. He's revoked reservation status for the Mashpee Wampanoag, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but a tribe that has been in Cape Cod, Massachusetts for 12,000 years, actually. But they also were the ones that met the Pilgrims.
They were the first Thanksgiving ones.
They were the first Thanksgiving ones. Whatever you might think of the first Thanksgiving, they were there, and they taught these clueless pilgrims how to, you know, feed themselves. And now they're kind of taking possession of 300 acres of this tribe's land in Cape Cod and destroying the tribal infrastructure in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, and people call it a power grab, a land grab. Guess what? It's also a casino grab. Because building a casino, and Trump has ties to the casino in Rhode Island that doesn't like this. So it's just horrific. I'm sure you might have an opinion about that.
Oh my gosh, do I ever. Trump has been against Native Americans since day one. You've probably seen the clip of him in court for the right to have a casino and saying, well, they don't look Indian to me, or they don't look Native American to me, as if his judgment of their appearance was a DNA test or whatever. Yes, whip him. Whip him good and hard. A golf twiddler. And then you've got the Navajo Nation, which has lost more people through coronavirus than I think it's 19 states combined now. Because they aren't getting money and support that they need for their health care, which by treaty, our country is supposed to give them this health care. It's the Native American health care system. Then you've got the people up in North and South Dakota who have been disenfranchised because they have the misfortune of living at a rural route address. When I lived in Southern Indiana, my address was Rural Route 1, Box 14, because the streets had no names. Thank you, you too. But that's how it is when you live in a rural environment. They don't have names. So now they're telling them that all these rural people, because they have a rural route address, they don't really have a legitimate address, therefore they can't vote. They've been here thousands, like you said, thousands and thousands and thousands of years before the colonizers. So where do these people get off at disenfranchising? By the way, Native Americans serve in the armed forces greater numbers per capita than any other population.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. When we start our powwows, every powwow starts with the color guard, with the honoring of the color guard.
Yeah. And even if one of the reasons they do it is the same reason you got into porn, you know, still, because it's a good way to make money. I mean, and still, we should appreciate that.
It's part of our culture to be warriors.
And that's true, too.
This is still our land. Whatever flag is flying above it, this is still our land.
That's a good point.
We're going to fight for our land. Just because the colonizers have control of it right now doesn't mean it's not still our land. Our ancestors are buried here.
You got to have a lot of confidence, and you got to know your land to be able to say that. Yeah.
We're going
to
fight.
That's beautiful. And you're such a great advocate for all kinds of people. I mean, I got a lot of response just saying you were going to be on the show. And certainly for Native American peoples, for sex workers, for healers, you're a great healer. And I really want to thank you. Somebody just said, what is Hyapatia's favorite animal? Elizabeth, you have to be listening more carefully. We already went through that, so you're going to have to listen to the show.
It might be my fault. I'm not fast enough.
They each have a place in my heart. I mean, I've had many horses.
Yes.
So horses have a very special place in my heart. Of course, eagle, the hawk over there, I've given it a name. I've given all the deer names. So, I mean, I love them all.
And we love you.
I love them all.
Is there anything you'd like to say in sort of summary or something I forgot to ask you about?
Oh, you've done so well, dear. You've covered all the bases. I want to thank you for having me here. Please catch my show on my YouTube channel, Roku and Amazon. It's called Native World, the Native World Channel. Features my Native Strength show. My books can be found on Amazon.
I just wanted to ask you one more thing. Penthouse. You did a penthouse shoot. And my husband, Max, who worked with Bob Guccione, wanted to know, did Bob Guccione shoot you?
Yes, he did. Bob Guccione was the best photographer I ever worked with in my life.
Oh.
A gentleman to the night. A great and very kind. I loved every minute working with him.
Yeah. Let's show quickly some of the photos from Penthouse Tech Team. Where are you?
Did a great job. You did a great job. Udemy. I have courses available on udemy.com. Introduction to Native American Mindfulness, Overcoming Your Bullies, Overcoming All Bullies, not just the ones that are inside you, but the external ones.
I saw the bully one.
Awesome. Well, we need to overcome bullies, whether they're in the White House or your house.
Aho. Aho is Native American. Amen.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Hyapatia Lee.
Me, dear.
I feel blessed by a blessed woman to have had you on my show. I'm so
very
happy. And I hope we can do it again and keep the conversation going.
That would be lovely. I would very much appreciate that.
I hope you plan a trip to LA and come here on the show.
Yeah. Well, once we're not in lockdown,
we
should
once
do
Corona's
it for real,
over.
You know? My teepee or yours, you know? All right, darling. Good luck to you in everything you do. Feel good, be good, you know.
And to you as well. You and everyone there. Everyone there has been so helpful and so nice to me. And thank you so much for everything.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Okay.
Yay,
love
so
you.
Awesome.
Mwah. Much love.
Love to everybody. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know.
I didn't ask her about her experience in Guam and Hawaii. When we make posts, I'm going to say, hey, I want to know if she danced in Guam.
It sounds like she did.
I think so.
I
want to know if she danced at the same club I danced at, because I danced at like one of the oldest, biggest clubs there. So, and I want to know, what did she experience with like?
Okay, let's get her back on.
Her back on. Also, when I lived in Hawaii, I mean, they're really spiritual people, and their big goddess is Pele, the volcano goddess. So I wanted to ask her, like, hey, the elders in Hawaii must have told her about that a lot.
Okay. How long do we have before we get Isabel on?
Any second.
Okay. All right, then.
Any second.
But that was a great
any moment
chat, speaking of bedside chats.
Elizabeth Ashton also said, I was listening. Okay, I'm sorry. It's probably I was writing. I'm writing, and it.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Oh, so maybe Elizabeth wrote her question before I actually asked
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And Elizabeth is very, very smart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she and I think alike. And we were both asking, what's your favorite animal, around the same time.
Yeah, yeah. You asked it, and she was typing it. And
love
I
you, Elizabeth.
I was slow.
Yeah.
Sorry, Elizabeth.
He's talking to her.
Also, so.
Okay. And there she is.
Yeah,
okay.
She's so cute.
Isabella Caracci, or Caracci, from Las Vegas. Hello.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So how's life in quarantine as a cam girl? Not much different from life not in quarantine as a cam girl, I guess.
No, just miss working out and going to the gym. That's my biggest downfall right now.
Well, maybe you can turn a workout into kind of a cam girl performance. Maybe you should do workouts nude. How about that? And
Yeah, definitely.
Got to get yourself a little home gym. I mean, you don't know how long this is going to go on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, according to your mayor, though, the mayor of Vegas, Carolyn Goodman, it's opening up any day now. What do you think about that?
It's not going to open up. That's just unreal. I was like, oh, my God, seriously?
Well,
definitely not ready to open up.
It's a good thing you're a cam girl and not a card dealer. Card dealer. Yeah, you know. I mean, I feel bad for the card dealers because they got to get very close to people and be touching cards that everybody's touched. And what are they going to do? Wipe them off with Lysol, I guess, you know, or drink some Clorox.
Yeah.
Clorox Jello shots. That is what we're going to have in Vegas mini bars soon, right? The Clorox Jello shot in the mini bar.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell me about you as a cam girl. What do you specialize in?
Well, I've been doing it for many years now, and mainly what my clients love is my ass and my hips. I got, like, really big hips.
Your ass and your hips. Well, I'm seeing your boobs there. They look pretty impressive. But let's see your ass. Let's see what they're excited about.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to turn the Facebook camera away because they cannot handle seeing your actual ass if you pick your skirt up for us. Whoa, that is a big ass. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. That's quite large. And I think you should keep it up one more time.
So you want to see the hips?
Yeah, the hips, okay. And so, so this is you. This is all you. This is no plastic extras, you know.
You didn't stick something in there. No, it's not.
Okay, impressive.
I got the jeans. Wow. Being 100% Italian, I guess I got the, you know.
You're 100% Italian. Do you speak Italian?
No, I don't.
Ah, my husband's Italian. He's part Italian.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Just go like this, right? That's why I tell everybody.
Do you want to say something to her in Italian? She won't understand what you're saying anyway, Matt. So.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh. Ciao bella.
Ciao bella.
Ciao bella.
How's that, huh? Pretty good, huh?
No, I talked you up. Like, you speak Italian. Come on.
Grazie. How do you say it?
I said ciao, Bella. Okay, so that...
No, davvero, non parlo l'italiano, eh?
Really, he doesn't speak
una
Italian.
Bugia che stanno right. Dicendo.
Really sounds good, though.
He sounds good.
He's
really speaking Italian.
Yeah.
He was born in Rome. Where were you born?
Oh, Wilmington, Delaware.
My first boyfriend was from there. And I understand you spent some time in Philly, which is my hometown.
Yes, I lived in Philly for about 35 years.
Wow, and did you start camming there?
No, I did not. I didn't find out about camming until I moved to Las Vegas.
Ah, okay. So what did you do while you were in Philly? Or were you just growing up?
I was a cocktail server in Atlantic City, New Jersey at Bally's.
Did you ever work at the Trump Taj Mahal?
No, I did not.
Philadelphia has a lot of history, right? It's a really historical city, right?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Liberty Bell, Independence Hall, you know. Billy Jean, all that.
It's got the Broken Bell, too, right?
The Broken Bell, right.
It used to be the Capitol, right?
Yeah, for a minute, until Washington took over because the South wanted to be in charge.
One hot minute.
So let's see. So what about your boobs? Do they ever want to see your boobs, your fans?
But they're not that big, though. Most of my customers do, but they really like my hips.
Okay. Well, just to keep things balanced, can we have a shot of your boobs? No Facebook camera. No turn the Facebook camera around.
Okay.
So now we're going to have a look. I think they're pretty impressive. Now, it's true that they do not match the sheer size of the hips.
No.
Don't put them away yet.
We're
admiring them. They're very nice. They look natural, and very very nice. I'm happy. You know, looking at boobs make people happy.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah,
so you know,
sure.
Not that looking at an ass doesn't make people happy too, but they've done studies
but
on the boobs.
Good comes out of them.
So how long have you been doing? How long has she been doing this?
A long time.
Well, yeah. What is a long time?
You know, I didn't ask that. She said many years.
Many years.
Max wants to know how many years.
Okay.
I didn't want to kind of.
You don't have to tell me.
I started camming in 2009.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question. It might be kind of weird. I lived in Vegas for like a year and some change. And when I lived in Vegas, I danced a showgirl video. Have you ever been there, or did you ever try to dance? It's the only peep show in Vegas, right?
No, I have not tried it. Never been there.
Have you ever walked by as a customer or like as a pedestrian? Like, oh, it's Las Vegas Boulevard. There's showgirl video. It's closed now. But...
Oh, yeah.
It was a weird, kitschy place.
Okay, so I guess we could do a real quick Bonoboville communion with Clorox.
Woo! Because the president said so. Right.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to join us. I can't see when you're standing right in front of her, Harry. But, of course, she's not on now. Okay, so we're going to have to see your boob one more time. This time, okay. Do you have a drink nearby of anything? And the salt.
Some water.
Okay, some water is good. Get the water.
Okay.
Okay, and now we need our salt. And okay, so now we're going to just, well, you might not have salt, but first you lick your boob.
Lick it.
The nipple. And then you salt it. And then, boy, the mask gets in the way of the licking. Mm. And then you lick it again. And now, Clorox time. All right, Trumpster. We're doing what you said to do. Although you said to inject it, but we're going to drink it. Okay, I'm dead. It's not really Clorox. Oh, well, Sunshine is being very, very theatrical. And down the hatch.
What is that, vodka?
Could be. But it's best with agua.
You're drinking vodka?
Woo, 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 woo. Okay, thank you for joining us for Bonoboville Communion. How are you going to celebrate Masturbation Month? That must be a big month for camming.
May is Masturbation Month.
Yeah, May. Did you know that?
I actually didn't know that.
Well, you should tell all your clients that.
What sites are you camming on? What all sites are you camming on? Like, what's your sites that you're always on?
Yeah, I'm always on 7 days a week. Stream8 is the number one site that I'm on.
Okay.
Which one do you think makes the most money? Like, I know some girls complain, oh, this one was a dud, and I don't know.
I would say Stream 8.
Makes the most?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Although I did have like a bigger butt when I first started. Like, I know it's, you probably think it's big now, but it was like bigger. So they tend to like really like big asses on there.
On Stream 8?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so or now I know. Boobs. I'm taking notes. Stream 8 wants big asses. I keep trying to
I used to have one, and
you used to have one. What do you call what you have now?
What can you show us from before? I'm in disbelief a little bit.
Really? Wow.
It was bigger. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Well, I mean, did you want it to be smaller, or did it? Was this an accident, or?
Well, I went gluten-free like 4 years ago because I found out I had celiac disease, so I kind of just had no choice. So I just don't eat gluten anymore.
So why would you say you're camming? Is it because of the money? Of course, that is always a reason. But is there any other reason that is your calling? I guess you've been doing it for years, so it must be your calling.
The main reason why I was working regular jobs out here in Las Vegas, I was a receptionist at a radio station, and I was a receptionist at a dentist's office. And the economy kind of went bad. I also worked at a tile place. I was selling tile. Basically, like, the economy kind of hit everything, and things slowed down, so... and then there were a couple of jobs where they couldn't afford to pay me, or they bounced the check. So at that point, I kind of like, I was done with it, you know? And I was camming like part-time a little bit while I was working those jobs. And I was like, all right, I'm done with these jobs. I'm just going to do full-time camming. And that's because camming always paid me on time and never had an issue compared to working at a dentist's office or working at a radio station where they couldn't pay on time.
You get to be your own boss, and if there's a pandemic, you're okay, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. This is so awesome.
You know, we're spending a lot of time on the show doing these bedside chats, and we are talking to cam girls, cam gals. I mean, girls sounds young, but cam performers, because that is a very popular way to go these days. That's where a lot of sex workers are, and it's a completely safe way to do sex work right now. So
for sure.
It's always a safe way to do sex work. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh,
and
thank
good luck
you.
To you. I hope everything goes okay in Vegas. You're not going to go out there onto the casinos
the
and the
strip,
hotels.
Right.
You're not going to go onto the strip and start stripping, right? I mean,
not at all.
You're
no.
doing it at home.
Okay. I stay home. Okay. I don't go out at all.
Good for you.
That was amazing that Mayor was like, well, you told me, right? They were like, so we're going to open up the, what was the story you said? Oh, we're going to open up the casinos and you're going to be there, right? To the mayor. And then the mayor's like, oh, no, not me. I have a family. Right?
Yeah, Anderson Cooper asked if she would be there. And she was shocked. I have a family. And what about everybody else?
So everybody else is supposed to go there, whether they have a family or not. But she's so special. She doesn't have to be out there.
She's got a constituency that are the hotels that are losing money. But, you know, people's lives are more important than any amount of money.
Yeah.
So we enjoyed having you. Isabella.
Oh, thank you.
And
I
love to you. And we'll see
and
you later.
And we can find you on Stream 8, right? As
correct.
As what?
All right. As Isabella. Sorry. Okay, so we'll talk to you later. Ciao, Bella.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, brothers and sisters, we are almost at the end of another fascinating bedside chat. Wow. Featuring Hyapatia Lee, amazing blessed woman of the Cherokee Nation, as well as just groundbreaking, beautiful porn star that has won a lot of our hearts. And also Isabella, another interesting view of the camming world that we've been exploring off and on these bedside chats. You know, these bedside chats are about life and love and sex and death, a little bit. Death, yeah. A lot of people dying right now. Over 50,000 in America, 200,000 plus around the world, meaning United States, the greatest country in the world. Well, we got the greatest number of deaths. I don't know if that's something to be proud of being greatest at, you know? I don't think so. A lot of people dying, and I have to say, before I go, goodbye to someone who died, who's very close to me. And she's my dear cousin, Dorothy Block Adelstein. Bye, Dorothy. Yeah, she passed away today, this morning, in New York. And though she died of cancer, and she's been sick for a long time, and we're happy that she's out of her pain and moving on to whatever you move on to. I don't know, but moving on to something. It's sad that she leaves a wonderful daughter behind, but she had a wonderful life. It's sad that due to the coronavirus pandemic, we can't give her a funeral. A lot of people can't get funerals. And we can only say goodbye to our dear cousin. And you know what? I mean, funerals are cool. They're a way for people to get together. But really, to say goodbye is what it's all about. I've been saying goodbye basically all day to Dorothy, and I'm going to continue for quite a while. But I guess I wanted to say it on the show, too. Yeah, Dorothy. what a beautiful, smart, spiritual, sexy, fabulous, vivacious, vibrant human being you were during your all-too-short time on Earth, delighting us with your sparkling wit, your great dancing. You were such a good dancer. And your very deep love. Until we meet again, wherever that might be, I love you, Dorothy. Anyway, I don't mean to be sad. I just felt like I had to say goodbye to Dorothy. You remember Dorothy, Max?
I remember Dorothy.
She danced at our wedding mm-hmm. with Jeff, my other cousin who passed away.
Oh.
And yeah, we're going. We're going. The Block family. Of course, there's a whole new generation of Blocks, but quite a few of our generation are going. And yeah, this corona apocalypse is taking so many of various generations. And death is the theme, brothers and sisters. Thanatos. But the real antidote to Thanatos is Eros, is our sexuality. As Hypatia said, the center of our wheel of life is our sexuality, whether you express it through sex or other forms of creativity. It's important, your sexuality. Can I have some of the other crew here? Can you put on masks and get
I
up
have,
here?
I have a mask.
I know, you do. Maybe
I want to say hi to Goddess Phoenix.
Oh, hi, Goddess Phoenix.
Oh, Goddess
is she
Phoenix.
Here?
Yeah, she's right here on the screen.
She's on the screen.
She's on the screen.
Well, no.
Oh, hi, Goddess Phoenix. She's on Facebook, you mean?
Yeah, Facebook.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just want to say hi.
Oh, great, okay. So maybe Anna, Miguel, anybody over here can come over to say bye. Anybody with masks?
Anna Miguel,
do they know
the friend, por favor, con una máscara.
Can somebody let them know? Or
they're
okay.
Coming, they're coming.
Oh, they're coming, coming. Okay. Coming, coming. Everybody stay 6 feet apart, but act like we're intimate. Okay. This is never easy to do. But
6 feet away, 6 feet away, please.
Yeah.
6 feet away, but come here.
6 feet away?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to hold this book. You can hold this book. And you're gonna hold that, and here we all are, Bonoboville in isolation, and trying to wear my mask properly, which is not easy. You got to get it over your nose and under your chin. And I'm so happy that Hyapatia Lee loves bonobos. I'm not surprised, but happy, you know. And I hope that you help the bonobos. They are also susceptible to the coronavirus, and they're in the Congo. We have to try to save them. We have to save each other, but there's very, very few bonobos. And we have to also learn the lesson of the bonobos, which is to share. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question, or play out a fantasy, or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the make love, not war, great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex, it's how they use sex to prevent murder and war, really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure, with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special.
partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.